Some time ago, when I was with the American General, the Tax Department, we normally didn't, and as a side, we normally didn't get into religious discussions too many times. There were a number of people there in that department that were members of the Churches of Christ. But one of the ladies and I were talking, and she was a CPA, had a master's degree, and she mentioned that she hadn't been to church in a long time. And, you know me, I suggested that she needed to. But she became defensive. And she said, "I don't have to." She said, "You don't have to go to church." And you know, although it would do little good, I suggested that she read the Bible, see what the Bible says about the church, rather than us bantering back and forth about what we thought about the church. And her reply was, "I know it's not the building." That used to be a discussion, a lesson a lot of times. But that ended our discussion. And I got to thinking, you know, she knew what the church was not, but she really didn't know what the church was. And I've had several discussions over the years with individuals, some in the church, that really don't understand what the church is. We're having a study about that on Wednesday night. You say we're studying the book of Acts. Well, the book of Acts talks about the beginning of the church. It talks about Luke writes about those 12 men that had been assigned the task of preaching the gospel into the whole world. That commission was given by Jesus. And the book of Acts indicates to us that it was carried out and how it was carried out. And how those churches were able to grow as they grew back at that time. How they were persecuted, and in spite of persecution, they kept the faith. They were steadfast in the faith. On our subject of the church today, it said that about 50 or 60% of all people that were surveyed in the United States claimed to be a member or have membership in some church, some religious group. And if you really would go to various congregations of those churches this morning, you would probably not see that many in the buildings in attendance. Many times, I think what we get reported on is church rolls, someone that's on the church roll, as opposed to those who are attending church. So, how seriously do people take the church? How seriously do they take the church when we're talking about the church to them? How interested? How are the very many that are seriously interested in church membership? I think we're constantly reminded on that. I used to see on the back of these trucks, as I was trying to follow them down the road on the two-lane highways, be a sign, "Join the church of your choice." There used to be signs around. I don't hear that as much. Maybe you hear it. But I do hear you don't have to be a church member of any or member of any church to be a Christian. Folks would say, I had a discussion, I remember in Montana, the lady said, I can worship God out here, down here, out in the woods, down here near where I live. And that's true, but that's not the church, and that doesn't fulfill the purpose of the church. So this morning I want us to discuss what the Bible says about the church, some things from the Bible. And maybe ask the question first, is my attitude too harsh toward these individuals that would say those things? Can I be a Christian and not be a member of the church? Can Christianity exist simply as an individual matter? Or, as we read in the Bible, are there demands, are there responsibilities that I can only fulfill as being a member of the church, a member of a group, a member of a community or a fellowship? Is it a mistake to think of being a Christian without being in the church. So let's look at the title of this lesson, I guess, would be The Christian in the Church. And in looking at some answers to some of these questions I've raised, I think we'll answer the question too, how do I become a member of the church? When do I become a member of the church? Well, number one, I'd like us to look at some scriptures that indicate that obedience of faith is necessary. Obedient faith. In Matthew 16 and verse 13, Jesus asked the apostles, who do men say that I am? And they gave various and sundry answers. Some said, one prophet or the other prophet. But then he asked Peter, or he asked the apostles, whom say ye that I am? And it was Peter who responded. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 16 of Acts of Matthew 16. And immediately Jesus blessed Peter for this statement, this truth. And then he promised, down in that context, upon this rock, upon that confession that Peter made, upon this rock I will build my church. So the church was still in the future at that time. It was something that Jesus said he would do. Earlier, Jesus had told his apostles that whosoever, therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. But here in Matthew chapter 16, was it just a coincidence that the church was promised by Christ just after Peter's confession? Well, did they have anything to do with one another? Paul wrote in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with the mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To confess Jesus as Lord implies that we will be obedient to Jesus. Jesus asked on one occasion, Luke 6:46. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I ask? And again, remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21, as we're getting close to the end of it. He says, if you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I ask you to do. You don't do the Word of God. And he says, why? Why? It was written of a native of the Congo as he was praying, said, dear Lord, you be the needle and I'll be the thread. You go first and I'll follow wherever you may lead. Following Jesus. Jesus says if we come to him, if we say, Lord means master, if we come and accept him as our master, then we're obedient to his will. So there is the obedience of faith that's essential. And that obedience of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and is vitally connected with the church. It was vitally connected when Jesus made mention that the church would be established. Now, we've heard a phrase tossed around, and sometimes we might say, correctly or incorrectly, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. And you've heard that statement. But what does it mean? In Acts chapter 2, again, we just studied that in Wednesday night class. But we read of individuals who were present when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, who had also been there when Jesus was crucified 50 days earlier, or a few days more than that. And they were listening to his sermon. Their sermon, his sermon rather, convicted them. And they preached it under the authority of Jesus' great commission, didn't they? But the people, according to Acts 2:37, and I have that, I'll turn to that. Acts 2:37 says, when they heard this, when they heard what Jesus had said about, Peter had said about Jesus, when they had said that he is by the right hand of God now, that he is both Lord and Christ, they said, they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, they were moved, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They recognized their sinful position. And they needed to know, they wanted to know, in light of what you preached, in light of what you said, Peter, in light of our conviction at this point, what do we need to do to make it right? And Peter responded that they needed to repent. They need to be baptized, every one of you, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 41 and verse 47, I call your attention to a couple of verses. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's chapter 2, verse 41. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now concerning these individuals, it continues to talk about them, verse 42 through 46 and also in 47. Said that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now the church is in existence. The church is linked to these individuals who have repented of their sins and been baptized into Christ. So there is definitely a connection. And the process by which they accepted Jesus as their Savior, in which they accepted repentance, that repentance was essential, that they accepted to be obedient and were required to be baptized, that was part and parcel of what concluded with their being added to the church by the Lord, not by a vote of the apostles or anyone else. In Acts 2:42, this is also stated concerning these individuals. They have individually accepted Jesus as their Savior, but they don't go off individually their own separate ways. Notice verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship. They were together. They were there learning all they could learn. They were there together, and in breaking of bread, partaking of the Lord's Supper, they were there in prayers. Verse 44. And all that believed were together. They were all together. And I think we see that emphasized throughout the first few chapters, really throughout the Bible. An emphasis of Christians meeting together. Of them being together. So these people in Acts 2 were just not individuals now. They were part of a group. They were part of a fellowship. They were part of a community. And at that time, they were daily. They were meeting daily. They were continuing with one accord, according to verse 46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread. They were going to house to house with one another. They eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were together. They were one. So the church in the New Testament is always associated with one's personal acceptance of Jesus, yes. But also those who accepted Him became part of a larger group, became part of that group to whom it says the Lord added daily. But how do we find out about the church? I mentioned talking to that lady, and we could have argued. I could have argued about this group that met there, and she would have argued about this group that met over there, and her concept of what the church was. You know, I had one individual in a Bible class I was teaching one time, and he said, you know, it's great that there's so many churches, because people believe different things, and it gives them a place to go. And I wondered, you know, how long have you been sitting in Bible classes at this congregation of the Church of Christ? Now, what I told him, because he'd probably walked out, but it kind of made me wonder. And I said, well, you know, there are people with different opinions. There are different things out there, and there are different beliefs out there. But when I mentioned the church, I said, I'm talking about the church that's in the Bible, that we read about in the Bible. Now, sometimes people will think that we are being uppity, that we're being radical when we talk about that. But we need to do that to get it really into focus on what the subject is. the authority for what we believe is in God's Word. And then we should always be willing to go to God's Word to prove that we're to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. And one of those things I think we need to be able to discuss with folks is what the church is, because that's a problem. That's a difficulty with people in their minds. The church at Corinth had difficulty from the beginning because they wanted to branch off this way in their thinking. I follow Apollos. Well, this way I'm of Christ, and maybe this way I have Paul. And I'm of Cephas. And Paul said, you know, when I came and preached to you, is that what I preached? He said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. You know, Christians and Christians only. Some would admit the importance of the church, but a lot of folks just don't think that it could exist today as it's set forth in the Bible. And some folks would even think it was really not on base for us to even suggest that we look at the New Testament and we are that church that Jesus writes about. That's what we should strive to be, like that church, to be that church. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Bible contains all things that we might learn who God is and who Christ is and what the purpose of Christ's coming was and what the purpose of the church continues to be. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, as the Apostle Paul wrote to this young man, teaching him those things that he would need to know. He said, you know, we've been given all things that pertain unto life. Well, that was what Peter said. He said, we're furnished completely. We're equipped to everything by the inspired Word, the God-breathed Word. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, I'd like to read that verse to you in that context. Ephesians 3, verse 11. Let's go back to verse 8, as I'm prone to do, to give a little background. Paul is talking about his preaching, the gospel, and how he was chosen to go to preach. And he says, unto me, verse 8, he's very humble, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, of the Gentiles of being saved, which was from the beginning of the world that had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We still have that job, don't we? We still have that mission to make known Christ, to make known the wisdom of God, to talk to people about Christianity, to talk to people about Christ's purpose in coming to this world, about salvation through Christ. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus built His church. It's important. Acts 20 and verse 28, to the churches at Ephesus, when Paul was teaching them at Miletus, he said that they need to be overseers, and they need to feed the flock that Christ purchased with His own blood. The church is important. In Acts 2:47, we read earlier that Jesus added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church is important. When people today are saved by the same blood, are they not added by the same Lord to the same church? You almost have to write that down to remember saying that, but I think that's a true statement. Now, the Bible talks about a number of things, teaches a number of things about the church. We want to know about how we should worship today. We go to the Bible. Other folks will have differences of opinion with us, and if we stay out of the Bible, both of us can argue till we're blue in the face. But we use the Bible as our authority, and we have a thus saith the Lord, and then we're on solid ground. Jesus said that the time's coming. He said this to the lady, the woman at the well, in John 4:24. Time is coming when man will worship God in spirit and truth. That's what God wants. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. When they were gathered together in Corinth, they were gathered together to partake of the Lord's Supper. There was a togetherness. They were there worshiping. And in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2, it shows that they were there giving on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7, when the disciples gathered at Troas, Paul was present and preached to them to the midnight, and their purpose for meeting, at least one of the purposes, was to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And they were doing that in the first century. The mission of the church, we have the Great Commission, just like the apostles had. The whole world is there. The whole world has not heard the gospel. The whole world is lost without the gospel. The character of the church. The Bible says the church is the body of Christ. That Christ is the head of the church. That indicates to me that the church is important. And that's what the Bible reveals to us about the church. You know, Paul made a statement in sending greetings to the church at Rome in Romans 16:16. Phrase that we probably know, that the churches of Christ salute you. Churches of Christ salute you. One of the people in Rome, you say, I wonder what church he's talking about. Now, why did Paul say such a statement when we don't have a clue what he's talking about? I think they knew what he was talking about. I think it was obvious. They knew that church because they knew Christ. And they had been taught by the apostles or by other apostles and taught many of them on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached. Like a Christian and a church member. Is it right to say I'm a church member or I'm a Christian, both of them? In Mark 16, 15, 16, Jesus gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. We read earlier in Acts chapter 2, many heard the gospel on that first day that it was preached, or first recorded sermon that we have, and said that they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day that were added unto them 3,000 souls. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Is the church important? They became Christians. They were called that first, though at Antioch, it tells us. Though those were mainly Gentiles, and they called them Christians. Those who are Christ-like. They were Christians, and also, if we look at the church, the book of Galatians, we're studying that on Sunday morning in our class. Notice how I'm tying all this into these different studies and trying to encourage us to study our Bible. We need to do that. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of congregations. Verse 2, it says, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So it's written to the churches of Galatia. Now go over to Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Churches of Galatia. Verse 26 said, we're all children of God. They're children of God. Are members of the church, part of the church. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So the same thing that had them into Christ had them as members of the church, part of the church. Paul directed his letter to the churches. And then he talked to them about, in chapter 3, about them being the children of God. About though he's saying, I'm talking to you who have been baptized into Christ. So again, the same process that made them children of God made them a part of the church, made them a member of the church. And it's, I think we can reason that out from the book of Galatians 1:3. Right across a poem by Sir Walter Scott. A lot of times you won't run across poems by a lot of these writers that worth reading, but part of one. Within this awesome volume lies, and talking about the Bible, the mystery of mysteries. Happiest day of the human race, to whom God has granted grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray. To lift the latch and force the way. And better had they ne'er been born who read to doubt or read to scorn. So this is our authority. So I'm talking to somebody about the church. I need to talk to them about what the Bible says about the church. I need to direct them to some scriptures. I need to be ready always to give a reason for the hope that I have. Patrick Henry, near death, is reported to have said, "Here's a book, the Bible, worth more than all that were ever printed, yet it is my misfortune never to have found time to read it." The Christian and the church. The church was and is important. It was important then, it's important now. Christ built it. Christ purchased it with his own blood, and he adds to the church those who are being saved. The church is important. Christ and the church are inseparable. Colossians 1:18, we mentioned he's the head of the body, the church. So to be a child of God, to be a Christian, is to be part of the church, is to be a member of Christ's church, is to accept the responsibilities, to accept the obligations that are ours and the opportunities and blessings that are afforded to us in God's Word. I'm grateful for your attendance this morning and your attention. There's one here who's not a Christian. Why not come to Christ today? If you haven't studied with someone, studied on your own, and you've determined in your mind that without God and without Christ, you're without hope. Well, you can be with hope with God and with Christ. Come to Christ confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Peter's confession was that. He believed that. Jesus patted him on the back, so to speak, for saying that. And in Acts chapter 2, they were told there too they needed to repent and be baptized when they were moved by their sins. And then they were added daily to the church, to such as should be saved. As a Christian, if you desire prayers on your behalf, you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do that today as we stand? As we sing.
Where did you come? Where did you come? Where did you come?